This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians in the New Testament. We've been going through this book all summer long. Still have a few more weeks left before summer escapes us. And today we're going to jump into chapter 5. And I got a confession to make. I didn't get very far in chapter 5 before I just stopped and said, I can't go further. It's going to take us about 3 weeks to just unpack chapter 5 because there's so much here. One of my favorite chapters in the scriptures. And today I got about two verses in and said, all right, that's it. That's all we can handle for one day. So if you'll go with me there to Ephesians chapter 5, we're just going to read the first two verses. Let's read it together from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here we go. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. There's one phrase in there that just jumped out at me like crazy, and that was to walk in the way of love. And I thought that was the theme that we want to camp on today for today's message. So I'm going to pray again because I always like to pray over the word and ask God to open it up to us. So would you join me? Father, thank you for your word today. We don't take your word for granted. And we're grateful, Lord, to be in a country where we can worship openly and celebrate you and learn more about you in gatherings like this. So, Holy Spirit, take your word now and plant it deep in our hearts and reveal Jesus to us in greater measure, we ask. We receive the change that your word brings and make us different people when we walk out of this place as we were when we walked in. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. That phrase, the way of love, man, it just captured me. And I just began to realize in this letter to the Ephesian church that Paul wrote, we're studying how to grow stronger. That's the title of this series, Growing Stronger. And each week we've unpacked a little bit of Ephesians. If you want to go back and catch previous messages, did you enjoy Heather Chowning last week? I heard she did a pretty good job. She did all right? Yeah. I was going to wear my pencil skirt today to look as good as her, but I didn't do that and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But Ephesians chapter 5. I haven't shaved, so I didn't do that today. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're at today. And again, these first two verses, it seemed to be perfect for where we're at today. You know, people talk about, oh, we want to be a church like the book of Acts. You know, how many of you ever heard that from someone? We want to be a church like the book of Acts. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, God needs his church today as much as he needed in the book of Acts. And if we're going to be a church like the book of Acts, we kind of have to model what that early church looked like. What did they do that set them apart? Well, the scripture says that they were unique because of their love. Amen. So if we're going to walk in the way of love, it's going to make a difference in how we treat one another and how we treat people around us. And this way of love is expressed not only internally as we love one another, but everywhere we get the privilege to go, to love those around us. And in the book of Acts, Jesus said in chapter 1, this is sort of, you know, his last address to the church before he went to heaven. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So power from the Holy Spirit, right? That's what we've been talking about. Getting lit up here with the power that God gives us and lives in us and through us. And because of that power, we take that message out then, the way of love, and we take that pathway into all the areas, including our own neighborhood, right? Jerusalem is like our city, correct? And Judea would be like the surrounding area. Samaria would be even a larger sphere, even to those that really were despised at that time by the Jewish people. And to the ends of the earth, pretty much covers it all, would you say? And this past week, we've had the chance to really walk that way of love out and send a couple of teams to do some amazing work in different parts of the world. So would you join me this morning? We're going to meet a couple of teams that have been working hard the last 7 to 10 days. Would you welcome Oklahoma team to the platform this morning to help me preach? Come on, let's encourage them up here today. Oklahoma team, who we got? We got Skylar, and we got Franny, and we've got Nancy, and we've got Tim. I appreciate Tim. He's the male representation here today, so I won't feel quite so lonely on the platform. We have some awesome ladies. Do you want to use this other mic here, Shane? Okay, very good. We've had two great teams. Francine's team went to Anadarko, Oklahoma, and the second time they've taken like a VBS type program, although Fran does a lot of work with a Native American, the different tribes there in Oklahoma, but beyond that as well. Some of you have heard some of the Native pastors here speak, and Fran took a team down, and this was a chance to serve Pastor Sonny Ware, who's also preached from our platform, his church in Anadarko, and you guys had a great time. I want you to tell me some God stories of what you saw him do through you this past week.
Okay, real quick. There's 568 tribes in the U.S., and that's just who the government recognizes. So there's many in Canada and Alaska, but we went up to the Kiowa Comanche Apache area, and one of the things I want you to remember is that the government does not take care of the tribes. Though we have a government, and the many covenants have been broken, that's treaties have been broken. So as a Native American, my heart is to go back and do something. We've been working for the last this will be our seventh year doing projects for helping all the Native pastors. We're doing helping with their churches. We've given food. We've given clothes. We've did hands-on things of ministry with them now. This will be our seventh year. And this is the second year of doing VBS. And it was just something the Lord told me to do and to activate my prayers for the Indian nations, for the children, because of the hopelessness and despair. And that's what we pray against, is that because they have no hope, a lot of them do. I just found out recently that at Pine Ridge Reservation, where Pastor Charity is and lives, is getting worse. And there's been a lot of shootings, killings, and one of my friends were there, her and her husband, they ministered to some kids in Rapid City that were in the hospital in ICU from shootings. Now, nobody knows this because it will never go on the news.
Right.
It's reservation lands. And so my heart is for that. We just came from there. We were there last year. And so we helped Pastor Charity. She needs help.
Yes.
And she had told them, she said, I could leave, but I don't want people to go to hell. She said, I'm going to keep preaching, and I'm going to stay here. So we went to Anadarko to help Pastor Sonny with the VBS, and there were just a lot of things that happened, a lot of it, you know, for me as a Native, it grips my heart. But we love the people, we love the kids, and we're seeing some things change, but it's been because of prayer. And so the first day, any time you go into these areas, you have to pray, and we have to war against things, because it's like they just, you know, you have to go in, you love the people, but you got to really pray. And so we got to the first day, it was kind of hard. We didn't have as many kids. I found out that was enrollment time for the schools in Anadarko. And so I went to the front door of the church and I started to pray, and I just said, God, bring them in. You know, we want to help these children. We've got a good team. We had two teams. Pastor Linda had a group of women, and then us, and then Devin is working today. So we all went together and we worked together, and we're able to pray and intercede on behalf of the children. And then the next day, this lady just kept bringing people in. And so we ended up with about 26. And so my heart, what was really touched my heart was praying for them at the very last day. There were no pictures of it because we were all praying. We were all laying hands on them and praying over them. And so that's really the highlight of the whole thing for me, because that's where my heart is for these kids to come out of the bondage or the old traditions and to come in as a believer and to know Jesus as their Savior. So my team came and helped, and I was so proud of them. They worked hard. They loved the kids. The kids loved them. By the last day, you know, they were jumping all over them. And at one point at the very last day, we were all leaving to get in the car, into Nancy's car, and three of the little kids come running out. I don't remember the names.
Devin, Isaiah, and Sister.
And they come running out to the car, and they said, Grandma forgot us. So we were just leaving, and the church was empty. And so, and we went, oh my gosh! So we ran back in the church. Nobody was there. And so I told Nancy, I said, well, we got to take them to Grandma. I said, do you know where they live? We asked them where they lived, and so they said, yeah, we can tell you, you know. And so we all hopped in the car. They had piled in the back, you know, and tried to give us directions to the house. That was the hardest part. But we found it, and Devin and Tim and Skylar got out and walked down the street and went to the house. They went to the first house, and nobody was there. They went to another house. Because with these kids, they all live together. With families, cousins, aunts, uncles, you know, that's just the way the tribes are. I mean, it's just if you think about the past, they all lived together, you know, with the teepee to teepee. It wasn't like, you know, so all the families are close. So I didn't know whose house they lived in, but the girls found the family. I guess it was an uncle. I don't remember.
Sister's dad, yeah.
Okay. And so then that was kind of interesting.
There but. We are, all piled in the car.
Oh yeah, that's the picture. We took them home, and then the other was just connecting with the pastors, talking with the pastors, and finding out what's going on in their area so that we can pray.
That's good.
But anyway,
that's really good. Why don't you introduce yourselves and tell them what your God moment was on the trip?
My name's Skylar. And I forgot to mention this in first service, but something I want to talk about before I talk about my God moment is I'm a hairdresser, and so I put out a donation jar. I only had it out for 2 weeks, and I raised enough money in 2 weeks to completely cover Devin and I's hotel room for the whole 4 nights we were there. And then I had to come in. We were leaving Monday. I came in Sunday to do a client who wasn't able to make it earlier in the week, and she donated a bunch of Bibles. And so the last day, we were able to give every kid there some Bibles. I'm a relatively new believer, and so I didn't grow up in the church. I've never done VBS. I didn't, when Fran asked me to do that, I'm like, I don't know what that means. and so I was super excited, super nervous, didn't know what it was going to be like, didn't know what to expect, having never been to one, you know, much less help lead one. So when we get there, on the way down, Fran is like instructing us like how to act and talk, and like she kind of had Devin and I really intimidated, like that they weren't going to be very welcoming, and she was like, you know, don't talk too loud, like all this stuff. And they were so welcoming, the adults, the kids, like as soon as we got there, just everybody, you know, the kids rushed us and loved us, and it was really awesome. And my God moment, the first day, as soon as we walk into the main sanctuary to pray and to meet the kids and everything, I see this little boy, Devin, and instantly, like, I know he's the one I'm supposed to connect to. Like, he's one of the reasons I'm here. He did not feel that way the first day. Like, he didn't really want anything to do with me. So we go through a whole first day with all the kids, loving on everybody, and we go to lunch, and I just happen to walk past him, and he is picking on a little girl and telling her that her shoes are dirty and ugly and old. And so I stop, and I'm like, hey, you know, we don't do that. How would you feel if I told you, you know, I didn't like your shoes, and your shoes were old? And he's just glaring at me. Like, he doesn't want me talking to him. He wants nothing to do with me. And so I keep talking, and you know, we talk about how Jesus would react and how he wouldn't do that, and we don't judge and everything. And so I leave him alone, and I go, and I'm out with the little girls and, you know, doing lunch and everything. And out of the corner of my eye, I kind of see him leave. And, you know, his grandma's there to pick him up. And didn't really think too much about it. And then he comes running back in, and he comes over and hugs me. Mm-hmm. And doesn't say anything, just latches on to me. And the next morning, as soon as I walk in, he's the first kid I see, and he runs right up to me. Mm-hmm. And we're together the rest of the time. He's the little boy in the white that was just in that one.
There he is. So this was my second year to go to VBS. Fran and I were the members of the team. This was our second time. So when we got there, it was fun to see some of the same kids from last time and just make that connection again. Lots of new kids also, so that was really fun. One of the things that, I can't remember if you said it this time, but there was the second day, there was this one woman that brought a carload of kids, and she brought them over from a different church, and she's like, I'll be back in a little bit with some more. So I think she brought like 13 kids that day. So we had twice as many the second day because she brought the kids. And they were just so, the adults were so thankful for us being there, and just really, it was a great connection with the adults. One of my God moments was at the very end, the last day, we had all the kids come forward to pray for him. And there was this guy, he was about 18 years old, sitting in the back row. And he had come last year to the Bible school, him and a couple of friends had come. And so he was there to pick up a cousin or somebody. And so I just went up to him and I said, hey, how are you doing? Do you remember me from last year? He's like, yeah. And so we were just visiting. And I asked him, I said, hey, if you want prayer, you can go on up with the kids. And so here he is, this 18-year-old, and he went up with all the other kids and got prayer and then ate lunch with us again. So
super cool.
So Devin and I did games for the VBS. So that in itself was fun because we just got to see the kids like outside running around, kind of like being, I mean, they were themselves the whole time, but yeah, that was fun. A moment that kind of sticks out to me that I was thinking about was, I think it was the first day we were singing, just kind of like trying to think of VBS songs to do. And we're like, okay, this little light of mine, like that's a simple one. And Isaiah, the other kid that was packed in the car with us, I was standing next to him and I was like, yeah, do you know this one? He just kind of shook his head and was like being really shy and quiet, kind of the cool kid, like didn't really want to know it, you know? And we start singing it and like 2 seconds in, he's like doing all the actions and singing really loud. And I was like, you know this one? He was like, yeah. And that was just really cool for me, like just the innocence and the joy that kids have.
That's awesome.
And so yeah, that was cool.
Super cool. Let's give this team a hand. Stay here for a second, please. I just want to make you aware of the fact that, you know, these are not super Christian people that, like, they float on clouds and they never have a need. And they're like, you know, when they show up, God, like, zaps the room. And, you know, it's like they're us. They're normal people. But they took time out of their summer and spent their money to go and to love on people, like Fran said. You know, and I think there's something about true bridging, taking an Anglo team into a native area that helps us break down walls, you know, that we've come to do something, you know, as Fran said, you know, there's a lot of brokenness in the native people, and we can come in there and show the heart of Jesus. So I want to pray over the seeds you guys have sown before you take off here, okay? Why don't you just join me? Father, I thank you for this team. I pray, Lord, that you would reward them exceedingly, God, for the sacrifice that they've made. And Lord, I pray for the seeds that were sown in Isaiah and all those names that were mentioned in Devin. Lord, just all those kids, these guys have the faces and names, and you've implanted them in their heart. So Lord, we lift them to you. I pray for Pastor Sonny and Susan. I pray, Lord, for the church in Anadarko. Lord, for those surrounding the area. God, we bless them today. May the light and the love of Jesus flood that city. As you've said prophetically that a move of God would begin there in that town, Lord, we just thankful that we get to throw another log on the fire and just fan the flame. So God, use those deposits that were made. I pray for those young lives, God, that they would rise up and be leaders in their generation to the native people. And we are privileged to partner, God, with you in encouraging them. And what you're doing, the work that you're doing, Holy Spirit, we say yes and amen to, and use us as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Applaud this awesome team from Oklahoma today. So that was team one. We had a second team that went down, traveled 4,000 miles round trip. That's why I'm a little groggy today, right? But we had an awesome time. So would you welcome Team Dominican Republic to the platform this morning as well? I had the privilege of leading a team of 10 ladies. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. And there were two other ladies that joined us, one from Kansas City, one from Seattle, as well as a gentleman from Niceville, Florida. So we had some other team members who we hadn't met before. And so it was cool how the Lord put us together. And as a unit, we had a chance to not only, do some awesome, spiritual ministry, but we did some real practical things like these kids can't go to school without black shoes. It makes absolutely no sense because they can't even afford a meal. But they have to have black shoes to get to school, to get to go. So one of the things that we do partnering with DR Missions, which is our partner organization, is we helped deliver 4 totes. We had 15 totes, 50 pounds each of supplies we took in. But 4 of those totes were filled with black shoes that you all helped provide some of those. Thank you for your generosity. And of course, we have faces and names associated with each of those little ones that you see. And, we go into San Cristobal, which is a town that represents one of the poorest areas in the country. In fact, when we go there, at the customs agents, when they say where you're going, and we say San Cristobal, they automatically say missionaries, because no person would ever go to San Cristobal on their own. It's just not where the tourism would be. There are resorts in that country, but you are scurried away to those resorts and you don't see the third world country as it exists. And we had the privilege to go into the middle of that and just to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is my 5th trip into the DR, my 3rd team to lead. And I want them to tell you some of their God moments that they encountered the heart of the Father in the heart of that poverty. Carrie, you want to start us off?
Well, you guys have all probably heard Pastor Tim say more than once that he wants all of us to go to the DR at some point. And I knew
you
that...
You will go. You will go.
It's a mandate. And so I knew I would eventually go, and I felt like God wanted me to go this year, but it almost kind of felt like I'm just going to get it over with. I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do, and it'll be done with, and it'll be, And... my husband had gone last year, and so the DR had really worked its way into his heart. And it didn't take long. Like, I remember on the first night saying to somebody, I feel like I have a crush on the DR. Like, just this feeling of infatuation of just, like, it just works its way into your heart. And because of the relationship that Tim and Krista have with Rick and Carrie and the Humbles, it's so easy for us to go and share and be a part. And I got to meet, if you sponsor a child there, they call you their God mom or God dad. And so that was really wonderful to get to meet Estrella, and just, I was telling someone, I was really feeling the language barrier with her, just like, cause I just wanted to talk. And I felt like God was like, I'm going to work this out. Don't worry about it. And then on the last day that we were at the orphanage, Carrie had arranged for us to pair up with each one of the girls and just ask questions with interpreters. And so I got to sit there for like 30 or 40 minutes, just going back and forth and hearing her heart and getting to say things that a mom would want to say to a daughter. And so it was just really special. And then I'm talking a mile a minute because I know we have a lot to share, but... the refugee camp, which Tim, did you tell what that was? It's kind of...
Not really. There's an area that at one time, when the hurricane came through there several years ago, and they set up temporary housing. When those people were relocated, then squatters basically came in. And so these are the poorest of the poor of that nation, other than the Haitians, which were a level even poorer that these guys haven't even seen yet. But, the houses are made out of whatever they can find, tin, cardboard, wire, whatever they can bale together and make a shack. And it is the worst living conditions for Dominicans in the country. And Rick and Carrie, again, have made inroads there. So that's a place that our teams always get to travel to.
So, there's a lot of prayer and a lot of ministry that's gone forth there. We were there handing out little water filter pots to the homes and mosquito nets. And so there was a practical thing, but they also wanted us to say a blessing over the home. And I remember feeling, like as we were praying, Lord, I want to feel your heart. I don't just want to say trite things. I want to feel, and sure enough, you have these fears that he's not going to come through, that he's not going to use you, that you won't know what to say, but you would just feel his heart for them, and you would feel just destiny coming out of your mouth over them and just words. And there was one lady in particular that I saw at kind of her hut was near the entrance, and she was just watching us, and I felt really drawn to her. And so Wes, one of the really wonderful guys there who interprets, came over and I found out that she was a new believer and that she'd only been a believer for maybe 3 months. And I was just encouraging her to connect with this little church across the way that was new there. And I felt like the Lord told me, you know, he sees her as someone who's going to lead others to him, and in particular, her family. And she was really touched by that because she'd been having dreams, seeing herself ministering to her family. And so that was a confirmation to both of us that he was in this moment and he was there. And just so many situations like that where you would feel his presence very strongly. So it was wonderful.
Julie?
Yeah, there was a lot that happened, I think, individually for all of us. I feel compelled to tell what happened for me last year. I felt like the only reason why I was going this year was because last year I had three different people come up to me and just prophesy, "We see you in the missions field." And I was like, "What is this, God? Why are you telling me this?" And so I've been feeling like I need to go for a while. So I'm like, okay, this is my year. I'm going to go on it and go for it. So it was really nervous. I was really nervous because I'm a nursing student. So I had to figure out, like, how am I going to pay for school and try to get that up, or this thing paid off. But it was really awesome how I saw God just, like, opening doors and getting me finally, you know, to the DR. And I had, like, no second thought, like, this was my moment. Like, this is when I was supposed to go. And so my God moment for me was also in the refugee camp. We met this mother who had, I'm not sure how many, I know she had at least three girls with her. And these girls were just covered in these sores. I can't even describe them. Like, they were just, it was really bad. And so one of the interns there had asked somebody, can somebody come and, like, put ointment on their legs? And Ida was like, well, Julie's a nursing student. And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it. But being able to, like, bend down and just, even though I couldn't communicate with them, like, verbally, like, being able to, for God to use me in that way, just to apply this medicine on this baby and just kind of, like, silently pray over her, was just, like, totally just mind-blowing. Just, it was so, I just felt God there for her. And it's just, I don't know, just talking about, you know, everybody needing to go. I know that there's some questions sometimes where you're just like, I don't know if I can do this. But if you take the initiative and just say yes to Jesus, like, he's going to get you there. It doesn't matter, like, what situation you're in right now. And it's just, it's awesome being able to serve down there. So.
That's good. Very good.
So I was telling first service that I was going to share a kind of a God moment, but I felt the Lord saying this morning, I want you to tell your testimony of how you got to the DR. Because I had no plan of going this year. I was going to go next year, because I had just graduated school, but I had received, yeah, he did. what was I saying? Oh yeah. God had blessed me with a scholarship. And this was probably in May that I got a scholarship, because I have been unemployed for the past 5 or 6 months or so. And so the Lord put on my heart, you need to tithe the 10% of this, and I want you to give it to the DR for the hygiene and medical supplies. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I would love to do that. So then time went on and school went on, and 2 weeks, probably not even 2 weeks, like 13 or 12 days before they were supposed to leave for the trip, pastor texts me, and he was like, do you have your passport? And I have friends that just moved out of the state, so I was like, oh, I was going to get it this fall just because I want to go see them, and I was going to go to the DR next year. He was like, well, we have a spot just opened up, and you can get your passport in less than 2 weeks. So I was like, okay, God. So that moment I started praying, and I was like, God, if you want me to go, like I said, I was unemployed, so the finances were not there to even just get me the clothes and everything, because you have to wear, like, long skirts and stuff. And so the day went on. I told my mom, and she was like, well, why not? Just do it. Just do it, girl. And and so I was like, okay, I'm still kind of waiting for God to, you know, to hear from God. And then probably an hour or so later, Pastor Tim said Krista was shopping for skirts, and he was like, come with us. Like, in the text message, that's how I interpreted it. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go. So at that moment, I'm like rushing to Walgreens to get my passport photo, rushing to the post office to figure out what I could do. And they were saying, well, it's going to take like 3 or 4 weeks. So I was like, well, and we, like, he was posting on Facebook and all these things were like, how you can get your passport quick. And so someone, I think Pastor Austin, said, if you hand it to a federal passport agency, you can get it quickly. So we ended up doing like a real quick, drove physically to Chicago to the passport agency. I was telling First Service, I was the only one within the whole federal building with a sealed document that got my passport quicker than anyone. And I was able to get my passport that day. So by the grace of God, it was just already a God thing. So then I got back and I was like, okay, now it's time to pack. And I remember Pastor saying, you know, just text Emily, see what, you know, she has. I went over her house and she's just like pulling clothes out. Take this. And I was able to not even have to go to the store to pay for any of the clothes or toiletries because of Emily. So I want to thank you for that. And then I was like, well, God, my bills, like, I haven't been working. And so he said, I want you to text your sister. So I text my big sister and she ended up giving me $300. The guy was like, I'm just going to give you 100-fold what you gave to the Dominican 3 months ago. So
that was a music. God, yep. Music there.
And so he did that. And so I was like, awesome, great. My bills are paid. But I needed money to get food and for things in the Dominican. So I was like, where's this money going to come from? So then one of my friends, she was like, well, I forgot to give you your graduation present. Here's this envelope. And in it was $150. So I was able to like pay for all of that. When I say God just like opened up doors because of that immediate like obedience of being, God, I have no clue. But I know that you are a provider of all things, and that if I just step out, like Julie was saying, just go, that you'll provide. So he did that for me. And because of that, I've had so many God moments, and I've heard just so much of his voice over this trip, and he's still unpacking things. Like Randy gave me a word today, and I'm like, whew, there's more. So because of that, I just want to encourage you all. Like Pastor was saying, we're literally just ordinary people. And we just have an extraordinary God. So that's what I want to give you today. So
very good, very good.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I'll just yell. And then I got back and I had kind of like, well, God, Pastor's going to say his God moment, but I had a moment like Pastor did. And so I was just worshiping that whole morning, that Wednesday morning. And I got a call and I'm now employed through Mosaic. So that's a blessing in itself.
I have to agree. I mean, every day there were God moments, and whether it was for me helping out in the kitchen at the orphanage or climbing up on a roof and overlooking the refugee camp, it was all amazing what God spoke to me. The last day we were there, Rick and Carrie said, you'll be unpacking for a while because things will just come to you and God will be dealing with you on certain things. And on the flight back home, I was processing the week and looking out, and it was a clear night. And if you've been to the Caribbean, they have stones there that you for necklaces or jewelry. And they're either these blue stones like I have, or they have these amber stones. And when I was looking out on the plane ride, it was such a clear night. You could see all the lights as you were going by. And they were these amber colored lights that reminded me of the stones that we kept seeing. And then God just spoke to me, and I'd like to read that to you. Veins of amber jewels lining the darkened earth, pointing the way home. God, can you see me soaring above? I'm winging home after handing hope to an island full of need. Let me tell the story of your great love for those who need redeemed, so more hands and hearts will spread the hope that's needed to such extreme. And if you just even have just a slight move of your heart to go, I encourage you to go, because these people, I mean, it's not just sending money to them. They need hands. They need people there to help. Mm. And I just encourage that.
Okay. I don't talk well. I think for all of us, including myself, the most influential place while we were there was the refugee camp. The people there are so full of love and joy and faith and you know, you have to look at that and you have to say, where does all this come from? Because they have so little. I mean, their homes are tiny with no windows and no light, and they have no water and they have no electricity and they don't have food and they don't have clothes and the floors are dirt. And, you know, I mean, I could go on and on and on. They have nothing. And they embrace you with love and kisses and happiness and laughter. And that is such an amazing gift that they gave us, you know. And I think about this country, and in this country, we do have poor, and we do have the needy, but we also have resources, and we have agencies that people can go to. And in the Dominican Republic, they don't have those things. They don't have any resources. They don't have any agencies. They don't even have trash service. It just never ceased to amaze me. We'd be driving and there's just trash on the roads because there's nobody to pick it up. So they need us, and they need us physically there to give them hope and to show them love, and they need our support and they need our encouragement. So that's why we need to go there. And I was one of those people who used to say, I don't know why we go out of the country, and now I know why. And I highly encourage anybody here to sponsor a child, because they are just, they're wonderful. I found my little girl. She just latched onto me the second day we were there, and they're just wonderful children, and they need all of the help and support we can give them.
That's good.
Well, my moment was the day of the medical clinic at the orphanage, and everyone had a job to do, passing out vitamins or medicine or whatever. And Callie was the DR staff. She's a nurse, and so she was in charge of that. And so Carrie and I got to pray for the children as they left. You know, we hated that. You know, we just, you know, you're supposed to laugh. Okay, Krista did. Okay, anyway, and so there's this one little baby, and his name, they call him Pony. And so he was screaming his head off because, you know, I think something was wrong with his ears. And so they finally gave him to Callie, and so Callie was, you know, trying to do her stuff and hold him. So I went over to Callie and just picked him up and took him outside, and I said, Carrie, you're on your own. So went outside and tried to soothe him, you know, and one little girl comes up and shows me, no, you have to do it hard and you have to do it fast, you know. So I did that, you know, and so this one little girl came up to me and had her hands out like she wanted him, and I go, no, 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 you know. So anyway, one of the interns, we were standing under the tree, and I said, whose baby is this? And they said, well, it's, you know, the father works during the day. Thank goodness for that. And then the mother is at the refugee camp. And the little girl that held her arms out, that's her caregiver. That's his aunt. And so I felt bad because I didn't know, you know, I should have given Pony to her. But it's like, I said, well, how does she get here? And she says, she walks. I said, how far does she have to walk? Oh, probably at least 45 minutes. That's one way. And the traffic there is horrible, you know. So I'm going, I was just speechless. I thought this little girl is in charge of this seven-month-old baby, you know. And she's 10 years old, and it's like she's teeny tiny. And that just got my heart. And, you know, there was a lot of God moments. And Chanel had just shared one evening that God, you know, you worry about, oh, am I, like Carrie said, am I going to have a word? You know, am I going to have anything to say or anything to do? Yes, God works through you amazingly. And everyone here has gifts.
That's right.
And you have to give them out. You know, whatever your gift is, you've got to use it, whether it's here or whether it's out of the country, you know. But I would encourage people, like the other said, if you have any inkling whatsoever, because I was going back and forth, oh, you know, and never say never, you know, say, no, I'm not going. God will send you.
That's right.
So.
Very good. Let's give this team a hand, if you would. I want to pray over them as well. And, you know, what I can tell you as this team leader is my joy is to take people. I mean, I don't feel called. You know, I've said, Lord, why have you put the DR in my heart like this? And I feel like it's to take people there because something happens to you there that it's just a unique atmosphere. There's no place, you'll never find poverty like there is in the DR any place in this nation. I don't care where you go. So it's hard to describe to people unless you see it. And when they see it, the lights come on. And I saw every one of these ladies. I saw their gifts come out, as Isla said. Gina is an esthetician, which means she takes care of your skin. She also waxes your eyebrows. But she's a skin lady. So Krista had encouraged her to take her stuff, and she was able to give facials to the kitchen help. A facial? Are you kidding me? I was like, I don't, you know, something they would never have ever experienced. And that's a very personal thing. You know, she laid them back and she massaged their face and put lotion on their hands. And it's just so personal. God used her in that way. And I saw Chanel, who just graduated with her physical therapy degree, and she was able to help this man who I fell in love with at the refugee camp, who's been electrocuted and shot and stabbed. And he has all these issues. And Chanel's there working on his hands and you know, trying to help him get some more flexibility. And Julie's using her nursing in process, you know, skills to put, you know, medicine on this little girl's leg. And I saw Ruby, you know, just kind of become a big sister to one of these girls in the orphanage. And it's just like, oh, it's just an amazing thing to watch. And so I could go on and on, but I want to pray over this team too. And Lord, I thank you for the stories. Lord, and I know it's hard for those listening to us, even on the podcast now, to maybe get a visual. But I pray, God, that you would just infect us with your heart for people who are just waiting to know that someone cares. And I pray for this team for their physical health, Lord, as we were going, you know, 12, 14-hour days. I pray that you would restore their health and reward them, God, for their sacrifice. And more importantly, let these stories goad us all to jealousy, to be used by you in dramatic ways, Lord, think beyond our wildest dreams, here at home and wherever else you want to send us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you applaud this awesome team, Team DR? just want to kind of put a ribbon on this for you today, because we talked about, you know, Jesus' command. He said in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So let's back it up. Now, we've in a broader picture, we talked about the ends of the earth. We talked about Samaria, Judea, and Jerusalem. Now we're bringing it back home. And so I told you when I left that you all were on the mission field too while I was gone. And there's just as important of work to do here in our city as there is any place you've just heard about, whether it's the reservation or whether it's, you know, the third world nation like the Dominican Republic. Here at home, just so you know what we are constantly engaged in, this is stuff that goes on 365, right? We're partnering with agencies that are making a difference right here in our city. People like Hillcrest Transitional Housing. We sponsor an apartment that allows an individual or a family to go through a 90-day program to take them from the brink of homelessness, or perhaps they are homeless, to learning life skills, vocational skills, to be able to get a job and to be self-sufficient at the end of 90 days. It's amazing. We do that all the time, and we need your help for that. We are constantly looking for furniture and people to help get the apartment ready for the next tenant and to provide the food and stuff that we are, you know, not obligated, but delighted to help provide so that they can get a good start. There's groups like The Crossing, which is Danny Gatch's ministry down on South 8th, to minister to the homeless. We'll call them like the chronically homeless, that, you know, a lot of them have mental issues and things that they just, for whatever reason, they just can't break the cycle. But someone has to love them and provide a place for them to take a shower and do laundry. And I don't know if you all knew this, but we donated all the scrap metal that we pulled out of this place to recycle. We let them recycle it, the homeless, so they could buy their own laundry facilities at the crossings. Things like that that are just so very, very cool. You know that we're partnering with Humboldt School up the street on 2nd here and providing them school supplies. In your worship guide, there's an indication of what we're looking for this year, thanks to Nancy and her team, that we're able to partner with that school where many of those kids, they just don't have a family unit. In fact, several of them live in the Noyes home. There's no intact family for them. And we can be their family. That's something we can do right here at home. And there's a new opportunity that I just learned about that I went through a training this week, and I wanted to bring you up to speed on it. Partnering with other churches in the city to meet practical needs of families who are just struggling and going through difficult times. And it's always hard for us. We receive phone calls, you know, almost continually, people with needs. And it's hard to know what's the best way. You know, you can meet a need, but then there's 55 needs after that, and how do you connect with the families and all that stuff? So thankfully, there's an organization through the Global Orphan Project called Care Portal. They're opening up a division here in St. Joseph that connects churches to social service agencies. They are the ones that are vetting these families and know the needs, and they bring those needs to us, practical needs, that we can connect with other churches in the city and say, hey, that one, we can handle that one. How do we connect with families and make sure that we're really meeting a genuine need and not being taken advantage of? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? I'm just being real, being honest here. This is a way for us to partner with churches in the city and to connect with families who have real needs that we can step up and help meet. And I'm just as excited about giving Kayla a crib as I am sending 11 people to the Dominican Republic, because it doesn't matter where the need is. That's why we're here. That's what the church is supposed to be doing, whether it's on the reservation in Anadarko, or I'm going to Browning, Montana here next couple of weeks to go minister up there, or whether it's going to the DR, or whether it's going up to Humboldt School. It's the heart of Jesus. That's what we're called to do, right? Can I get an amen? You're all being way too quiet. That's why we're here. We don't come here just to feel good and have fun together, and then we go out and do our thing. No, there's a mission that we're on. Jesus said this in Acts 13:47. I love it. He said, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's what it's about. To bring people the light of Jesus in whatever form we can, whether it's a crib or whether it's a black pair of shoes or whether it's a pair of headphones for a kid up at the school. That's a way we can show the love of Jesus, make contact with those people, and ask the Holy Spirit to help us connect with them in a way to bring them to salvation. That's why we do this. And I'm excited. You know, it was funny. My God moment, I'll close with this, as I was sitting on the runway there in Santo Domingo. You know, you're ready to go home after a hard week of work, and, you know, you're ready to see your family and ready to sleep in your own bed and have air conditioning and electricity and all those things. And, you know, there was excited chatter all around me, people excited about going back, you know, and I just was sitting there, and man, you know, just I just had a like this little bubble around me, you know, and it was just me and Jesus. And I just felt him pressing on me. And it wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't like an oppression. It was just a good heaviness. And I just felt like I just couldn't breathe because I was feeling so much of the heart of God for those people, for that nation. Like I told you, I don't feel called to move there, but I feel called to take people there to help them experience firsthand what Carrie Bernard, our missionary, would call to be ruined. You go there to be ruined because once you see it, once you touch it, you can't ever be the same. And as I knew the Lord was saying, you're not done yet. You'll be back. I was like, yes, I will. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I won't be finished till Jesus comes. I won't be finished caring about my city, caring about those who wonder if anybody really cares. It doesn't matter whether they might be people here that have a few more resources but still are lonely and feel abandoned. Or maybe they're in a third world country where no one would ever dare go except for those who have his heart. That's the kind of church that Jesus is building here at Restoration. And I'm so thankful. Today I believe, you know, I don't want you to just hear some stories and go home and say, well, that was nice. There's something we're supposed to do. There's a call that's being put out there. And these people that have testified today just have told you, listen, I didn't have the money. I'll never forget Gina coming to me when that first time, and she had $800 bills in her hand. And she had told me, she said, I do not have any money. I don't have the resources. But here's what I have. And God took that and used it. I watched Chanel drive to Chicago and back to get a passport. It's like, whatever it takes, making ourselves available to him, even if it's right here at home, to the people next door. It's having his heart. And if we're a church like that, I'm telling you, we can't build a building big enough to connect with people who need to know his heart, and we can help them grow in the knowledge of how much Jesus loves them. Can I get an applause line right there? Thank you. Won't you stand to your feet this morning? See, I don't know how else to transmit that heart to you except take you there. So get ready. In fact, today on the way out, Randy's got some slips of paper there at the door that just say, hey, I want to know more about the 2017 trip. Don't have hard dates yet. Don't have hard cost yet. I can guess. It'll be probably about what it costs this year. But if you're interested at all, just keep me posted. Then grab one of those. I'll get you on my distribution list. I'll keep you posted, but we are going back. In fact, I was visiting in the capital this cathedral that Christopher Columbus helped build. It was the first church in the Western Hemisphere, and we're standing there. Imagine that. The first church in the Western Hemisphere ever, with dates like 1500, you know, written on the thing. It's like, whoa, we thought our building was old. So, you know, we're there, and I see this stage set up on the plaza out front. And they're getting ready for a concert, and Christian nudges me, and he goes, you could bring your worship team here next year, and you could perform in the Capitol in front of all these tourists from all around the world. I'm like, are you kidding me? Heck yeah, I'm all about that. So, I mean, the opportunities are endless. It's whatever is in our heart that God says, do that, go. This is what you're called to do. I think if we make ourselves available, he'll say, I've been waiting. Like Isaiah, we say, here am I, send me. You never know. He'll take you up on that. Why don't you close your eyes, bow your head. Let's spend some time dealing with God today. Lord, I just thank you for these teams that have testified today. Franny's heart for her people in Oklahoma. You've said, Lord, that the Native American people are a sleeping giant, and when they awaken, that they'll be a key to revival in our nation. So we say, oh, Jesus, help us, God, partner with your Spirit. I think of those precious kids in the refugee camp, Lord. Little boy in a green shirt who clung to me everywhere I went. I don't know if a white man has ever shown him love, or any man for that matter, except perhaps in an act of prostitution. Just to be able to pull him close to me, hold on to him. Show him some love. We know, Lord, these seeds that were sown are seeds of eternity. We're believing, Lord, for an amazing harvest. And we're believing, God, you to make us a church that dares to look up beyond our own small circle of selfishness and our own convenience, our own fears, knowing, God, that when we partner with you, there are no boundaries, there are no limits. Father, there is no end to what you can do with people who just say, I'm available. In fact, today, would you just answer that prayer? If that's the desire of your heart, would you just whisper to the Lord to say, I'm available? Just say that to him. Say it out loud. I mean, quietly. And I want you to, like you're being made an object of attention here, but I just want you to say, if that's your heart, say, I'm available. I'm available. And see, what happens then is the Holy Spirit says, okay, we're in this together. It's not about you and your limitations. It's about me and my opportunities that I send you to. Father, I pray for every person that said that today. You've touched their heart today. Whether it's here in our city or it's in the region or it's, you know, in areas like, you know, Anadarko, or whether it's other nations, God, you're just looking for availability. But it begins with a surrender. Today, if you've never said yes to Jesus, this is your moment right now. He took us around the world, but he also took us right here at Second and Francis so that you could know how much you are loved. And today, if you've never said yes to him and you want to begin that journey and know him as your father, not just a religious figure, but a relationship with Jesus, would you slip your hand up real quick so I can pray specifically for you? Anyone here today who doesn't know him, has never said yes, if it's your first time, I want to see your hand today, that you're agreeing with God that you're a son or daughter that he's been looking for. He's looking for that hand so he can take a hold of it and walk with you. Anybody here at all today want in on that? Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would send to us those that are lonely, those that have no hope, and those that feel like no one cares. Would you send us to them this week? I pray for every person here. Send us to the people who need to know. Send us to those that feel like there's no hope, that no one cares, because we know that's a lie. We want to shatter the lie of the evil one and say, someone does care. Jesus cares, and he sent me because I care. Wherever it is, God, wherever that person is, we say, here am I, send me. Would you repeat that with me and say, here am I, send me. Thank you for it, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're working in such a tender way, breaking our hearts so that you can build us up to be the people you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.